But my name is Josh Greiner, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Faith Church. And I do have, by way of responsibilities, just a lot to do with this conference. And so that's a way of saying, at the end of the day, if something goes wrong or if you don't like it, let me know. It's coming to me. It's a way of saying that. It's a joy and a delight, honestly, to be involved with Faith's counseling ministry. I actually came to the doors of this church all the way back in 2006, not necessarily as a counselor or any of this, but as a counselee. And so for me to be involved in leading and teaching at the church where I received biblical counseling all those years ago, to me is just a particular joy and a delight. I just remember I was at this church and Pastor Vires was heading to Brazil. He was going to do a conference just like this, and he was describing what biblical counseling was, just sharing with the congregation. And I was just a lost, hurting Purdue student who was living like Purdue students at Big Ten universities live. That's all we need to say about that. And Purdue had come up with some solutions for my problems. There's a little white piece of paper I took to Walgreens. They gave me my solutions in 30-day form, and I took one of those solutions every day. But when I heard Pastor Vires just describe biblical counseling, I remember thinking to myself, I need that kind of help from that man. So I emailed him that night and told him who I was, asked for help, and it still kind of blows my mind even when I think about it today. He responded to me that evening and said, Josh, do you remember I'm going to Brazil? You know, I'm like, I do. And he directed me to our then college pastor, Brent Oakwin. And I did, I think, what a lot of you guys would do. You went on the website, you looked him up. And I remember getting to his bio, reading about who he is, and audibly out loud saying, oh no, that man cannot help me. That man is a nerd. I was looking for counseling degrees and certification. He has aeronautical engineering. So I emailed Pastor Vires back and I said, thanks, but no thanks. Really appreciate that. I'm going to go my own way. And he got back to me again the next day and just said, well, we're here if you need us. Just let it be. A couple of weeks went by. Things didn't get better, as you can imagine. And eventually, because Pastor Vires was traveling, Brent was preaching one particular Sunday. And that particular Sunday, he was preaching on Psalm 73, and Brent is kind of our Old Testament guy, and so he can really ring out a psalm for all it's worth. You guys will see that. And that it hit my heart. And then after the service, because he was up here, he was just kind of taking attendance in the room, and he noticed a college kid sitting over there he didn't recognize. So he just came up and introduced himself, began to talk to me. The next day, I was in his counseling room. And I'd love to say 10, 12 weeks of counseling with Brent Oakwin, and bada bing, bada boom, you got a pastor. And that's not how it went at all. It was a year of hard counseling. Not because he was so bad, because I was so bad and so difficult. But I say all that just to encourage you, to give you a little bit about who I am, but just to remind us at the beginning of a counseling conference like this, you never know who you'll be counseling. You never know who's going to come through your door. I think if you would have told Brent back in 2006, you're counseling one of the guys who's going to be responsible for leading the biblical counseling and training conference, him being the Old Testament guy, he would have said, I know what we need to do with you. We're going to take you out and do what the Bible says, and we're going to stone you because you're a false prophet. And so it's just a good reminder for us. We're going to be talking tonight as we land here, and I promise you one thing. We will end on time. So if you're wondering, man, that guy already started off with a story. Are we getting out of here tonight? We will get out of here tonight. I promise you, we're talking about family worship, and we've got a couple of goals here for tonight. One of the goals is just to remind and reinforce ourselves. What are the values and priorities around family worship? In a room this size, I wouldn't be surprised that if you do have children in your home and that you're married, that there is not necessarily an element of family worship in your life. And that's not me judging you. That's just being honest. There's probably people in here who will watch this, be a part of this, that's not element. So we're talking about why is it important. Number two, my goal is to try to just equip you to make sure that you have what you might need to instill and inculcate in your counselees as you detect that this may be lacking and you believe it is something that they need to make sure is happening before you graduate them. Meaning, in a nutshell, a little more simply for a moment, the vast majority of your counselees probably are not engaging in a form of family worship. Right? You're pretty happy if you get a counselee, they're just reading the Bible. You can actually find your place in the Bible. You're thinking to yourself, I got a good one here. And yet, we should be thinking about, as we're doing some form of counseling and care, that are we ensuring that they aren't going to end up back in our room? And one of the ways, especially when we're talking about parenting, especially as we're talking about issues in the home, are they worshiping the Lord the way that they ought to? So the goal is to remind, to refresh us, ultimately make sure we're all on the same page, and then hopefully, Lord willing, at the end of the day, to provide you guys with some tools. So let me start off here by way of introduction, just to remind us of the mandate that God has given to parents. First and foremost, right, to provide and to protect for those children. Right, when you have parents in the room, our job is to remind them and to encourage them, right? They need to protect and provide for these children. Now, hopefully, they're going to move beyond that, and they're also going to be involved in training these children in how the world works. Right, so it's part of just teaching kids all sorts of things. How to do the laundry, how to cook, how to wake up on time. All of the things that need to happen that children don't just, well, they don't come out of the womb knowing these things. So it's part of the goal of parents. And then, of course, if we're dealing with believers, right, we need to remind them that this is part of the mandate to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Much of this lecture is going to build on that last point there, that part of doing this mandate from the Scriptures, from our Lord, is engaging in the practice of family worship. Now, let's remind ourselves here for a moment. The concept of worship starts from the opening pages of the Scriptures. Right? We see the first instance in the Bible where worship begins to happen all the way back here in Genesis 4:3. We see that it came about at that time Cain brought an offering to the Lord. We see it from the earliest pages that you and I were created to be worshiping beings, and we're told shortly thereafter that then men began to call on the name of the Lord. We actually see in the book of Genesis then, shortly thereafter, the first instance of family worship here. Notice this here in Genesis 18:19 for a moment. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after me to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So there is this emphasis of training and worship. And then ultimately we see this. We're just working our way through this theology really quick. That worship of God obviously has been fundamental to mankind and the family unit. Looking at passages like, and I realize we're going a little fast here in the beginning, what we will survive, passages like Psalm 78 here for a moment. We will not conceal from them, that is the law of the Lord, from their children, but tell them to generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to the children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they might raise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God, his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So the point is obvious, the point is clear. From the beginning, mankind has been told that this is an essential aspect of what he's to do. It's an essential aspect of what's to be happening in the home. And obviously, we're warned repeatedly in Scripture to be careful what it is that we're worshiping. your children.